Hello, friends. Grab a chair, grab your drink. You are listening to the Close Friends podcast, where we hit record on our in real life conversations about surviving, thriving, and diving headfirst into life as millennials, trying to be successful, but also trying to just have a fucking good time. As ever, I am joined by my host, Sarah.
Hello, friends. And we have some news. Lucy, the wonderful Lucy Mountain, is actually not going to be joining us this week. She has left the pod for personal reasons. I'm joking. She's taking a very much needed break and will be back with us next week. In the meantime, let me give you our close friend of the week. This one goes out to, I'm going to butcher this name, Astush. The title is Hit Me Baby One More Time. The body of the text is, does anyone else just wish that this podcast was double the time? Love how every episode takes me on a journey, sometimes to visit the topics I had with my close friends, sometimes the topics that I didn't even think of speaking about with them. Love this thought-provoking conversation. Thank you very much, Ace Dush. What a beautiful review.
That's wonderful. And in Lucy's absence, we have a absolutely wonderful guest that I'm really excited to introduce. So hello to Poppy, who is the founder of Self & More. Self & More is a sex toy online shop, but it's all about reclaiming pleasure for everyone. And she does the most amazing stuff with pleasure education for adults and sells the most amazing range of toys that aren't gendered at all. Everything's categorized for everyone and it's just absolutely wonderful. So please go and have a look at Self & More if you haven't already, because I know it's all over my stories all the time, but... yeah, here's another plug.
Welcome, Poppy.
Yay. Good. Thanks for having me. Very excited to be here.
Sorry, I just want to add that I'm just fangirling so hard. As I said, I've been stalking and following you and your work for years. And if I'm not cool for the rest of this podcast, then I'm, do you know what? I'm not even sorry. That's just how it is. Thank you so much for joining us today, Poppy.
I just can't believe we're from the same place.
I know.
Madness.
I know. And also shout out to Sophie Milner, who also went to our school and is definitely how most of the stalking of you happened on my behalf. So Sophie, thank you. And if you want to come on the show, please let us know. We love
yeah,
you.
She's the next person we're going to call. Can I just quickly also say that the first podcast I ever listened to from start to finish and wish there was more of it, and this doesn't happen very often at all, was the one that you did with Sophie, Poppy.
So good.
And I sent it to like all of my friends, and that was like the first, literally my introduction to podcasts. So very excited to have you here.
That is amazing. I think that was must have been only the second or third podcast I'd ever done. So I was...
No way.
I was fresh at that point. Yeah.
That was incredible.
Thank you.
So today we are going to talk through all things sex parties, which I'm sure that a lot of you listening will be really excited about. So I am very excited. I'm literally grinning from ear to ear right now. never thought that I'd be in a place where I'm talking about this so openly on the internet. But hey, I'm running with it.
It's so fun to turn your hobbies into your professional endeavors, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I'm going to open with the first question, which is about how we even found the sex parties that we went to. So whoever wants to start with that, go for it.
Do you know, the first sex party that I went to, it must have been about 5 years ago now. And I actually found it from a Channel 4 documentary about sex parties.
That's amazing.
Like, I decided that I wanted to go to one, and like straight away in my head, I was like, I watched that documentary, didn't I? What was that? That looked quite fun. And then obviously just headed straight to Google, because that is the source of all information.
I've obviously not been to one. It's not really my bag, but my good mate Shirley's been to a few. She's got some really, really intriguing insights that she was filling me in on before we started recording this. She says you'd be surprised at how easy it is to come across them when you start looking. So if you allow yourself the liberty of going on Google, just as Poppy said, you will actually find a wealth of opportunities, probably in your local area, but certainly if you're in London, they are going on all the time. You just have to know, well, A, you have to be open to it, and B, you just have to kind of, you know, look and scour the internet a little bit. So yeah, I guess that's kind of, I think for Shirley, she'd been having conversations with friends for a while about the concept of them and how it'd be really sort of like funny, like, you know, banter. So it's just something interesting and different to see in your life. So that was the appealing part for her. So that was the premise she went on. But the reality of actually going and the process was extremely eye-opening. It was something so unexpected. It was so much more than just a funny, interesting experience. It was like life-changing.
Shirley's just telling me right now that she did a really big Google search and found some articles where they'd like review the different ones. What's that? Yeah, so they'd review the different ones and she found the right one for her, and that's when she decided to call upon her best friend and go. Very good. Very good snake, aren't you?
How did Shirley decide which one was for her?
So Shirley found that basically the one that she liked the best, which was the one that she eventually went to, was the one where it's led by the women. So you can go as a single woman, but you can also go as a couple, but you can't go as a single man unless you are brought by a woman. And she kind of liked that idea because then at least the guys are vetted, which turned out to be a really good idea, didn't it, Shirl? Because it was did feel very much like the guys were a bit humble in the place. But we'll get to that. I think let's go into the experience and just kind of almost getting there and getting, because we've got a lot of questions on the old gram about like how like the I was about to say the foreplay, but like, you know what I mean? The kind of arriving at the place to like, we're fucking.
I do you know what? I want to hear these stories. Poppy, walk us through it. Your first ever sex party from start to finish, from Google to the end. What happened? How was it?
Okay, so I'm in a relationship, so my first sex party experience wasn't like to a bunch of mates, let's go, this will be fun. It was to my boyfriend, I'd like to go to a sex party please. Bear in mind, we were not open at this point, so that was a whole like thing within itself. That was a whole conversation over Facebook Messenger because we were long distance at the time.
Wow.
So I pitched the sex party idea, he was on board, so obviously then took it upon myself to research, did lots and lots of Googling, found lots of parties. And like you said, Sarah, like if you want to go to a party every single night in London, you could. You could probably do two sex parties a day if you really wanted to. You'd definitely get fresh, but you could. So we decided we were going to go to this party, and it was one where you had to apply. So we spent some time like laboring over which picture we would submit and our little like descriptions about ourselves. And I would have gone to Killing Kittens, I think, if I had have realized that that was a more prominent title. But the one that we ended up going to was this one called like Heaven SX, which was a bit rogue. Mm. And it was just because I had seen it on that Channel 4 documentary. I thought, well, this is legit. But in hindsight, it was actually pretty rogue. So yeah, we applied, we submitted our pictures, we heard back, congratulations, you've been accepted to the sex party. Oh shit, we've actually got to do this now.
Yes, yes. I can relate to that feeling. Shirley, yes, can relate to that feeling so much. But okay, carry on.
Great. Yeah. And then I guess the first thing is like, what the fuck am I going to wear? What am I going to wear? And like, you're looking for all your clothes and you're like, do I even have anything sexy? Have I ever been somewhere smart before? Like, what even is a cocktail dress? Like, and then you, like, what? I'm like, I'm 22, I don't have a fucking cocktail dress. What? And like figuring out what underwear you're gonna wear as well. Like, do you go full suspenders? Do you buy new underwear? Do you wear heels? I hate heels, but you kind of have to wear heels, don't you, to feel sexy in this kind of context? So all these questions. Yeah. And then obviously for my boyfriend, it's just kind of like, well, he's a man, so he'll wear some nice black pants and a suit. Great. Mm-hmm. Sorted, done, like easy. Move on to the next thing.
But like the dress code is a really interesting one. So did you get like, obviously you got some pre-attendance materials, like an email or something that's telling you to wear a cocktail dress, but is it also telling you like, yeah, you should think about your underwear as well? Or is that just you being like, I imagine this is going to get pretty spicy, so.
It definitely said wear some sexy lingerie. I think it was very specific about like women, make a fucking effort, basically. Like, don't come in your granny panties was the clear message I got from the email.
I mean, like, I don't know about you, but my underwear was off in like about 3 seconds. So it was absolutely useless wearing nice underwear. I mean, I remember I still have the dress that's like hanging up in my wardrobe that I wore there, which was, it's like a long sleeve dress. That was so fucking stupid because it's so hot in that place that it was literally like, it was almost as if like I didn't really want to take my clothes off at that point in time. But after half a bottle of Prosecco and the heat in that place, I was like, get all my clothes off, take them all off. And then you've got lockers, right? Did you have lockers in yours, or you can kind of lock your stuff away?
Did you? Oh my God, I love that. Like, bring the gym to the sex party. I don't think I had lockers. I think it had like a, what's the word? Like a cloakroom, and you got like a ticket. but like a fancy cloakroom with like a person in a suit.
Take my tights, thank you.
We had like chaperones that kind of like walked around in like, I think they were like in fairy costumes or something, walked around to make sure everything was okay. It was a bit cringe, but
oh my gosh, yes. Az had topless butlers.
Oh, love it, love it. Not a cliche in sight.
No. Right, before you went, I need to know, did you go sober or did you get drunk?
We had a few drinks.
I think we need to address, this is stage two of the realization cycle that you've kind of started to set the scene for, Poppy, which is like, okay, now I've actually got to go. And it comes to the night and, you know, you're like, fuck, I've got to do this because I've actually, you know, they're paid events. It's like a ticketed event. I've paid some money. Also, I've committed to, in your case, your partner, or in Shirley's case, her best mate. And you're like, oh, fuck, I've really got to do it. So then you get in the taxi ride on the way. How did that feel for everyone? Like,
yeah, like the longest taxi ride of my life. I just sat there like, oh, what the fuck is going to happen? Does the taxi driver know that I'm a massive slut? Probably.
That's amazing. I almost got out. I literally almost opened the door and was like, just, you know, that James Bond scene where he like rolls onto the pavement? Like that was my vibe. But we had, so Shirley and I, when we went together, Shirl and I, we had this, one of our guy mates was like basically chaperoning us. He didn't Amazing. Actually come in with us, but he chaperoned us and actually made me feel a bit more calm because he was like, you girls got this. You're going to be fine. You're going to be great. That was good.
You had a hype man for the sex party.
We had a hype man.
Yes,
shout out to him because he'll probably hear this.
Yeah, that's he's a listener. Yeah, that's pretty funny. I mean, Poppy, were you, how many drinks down did you need to be for this? Or did you go stone cold sober?
We accidentally got really drunk.
Yes, like, love that.
I think we probably had a bottle of Prosecco each before we left. And then, like, honestly, I will admit there are parts of the night that are quite hazy. Like, I just kind of forget what happened for a bit. And then before I know it, I'm just like on the bed naked. But we can get to that later. But yeah, we got quite drunk. And then we got in there as well. And as soon as we got in there, we were like, right, straight to the bar. Need another drink. Because
yes!
What else do you do? What do you put in your hands? You're not going to put a penis in your hand yet, are you? So what else do you put in there? You've not got your phone because you're not allowed those. So what do? You get a drink.
Oh my God, the phone confiscation.
Did we get our phones confiscated?
So in Shirley's and your case, Tara, you turned up at the venue, which by the way, was just like, it's just a normal venue in London, but it's repurposed. Just like,
well, it wasn't, sorry, I don't think you can call it a normal venue. It's like a sauna in the middle of like central London. It's like a random, so okay, right, let's set the scene because this was a question that we got.
It's like a gym and a spa.
Kind of, you go in and there's like little like separated, like, almost like a sunbed kind of vibe in like its little section. And there's a couple of rooms. There's a big sauna. There's a loo. And there's a almost like a big jacuzzi. It was really bizarre. It was really quite bizarre. Yeah.
But that is what you kind of imagine when you think of a sex club, isn't it? Like that is the sauna, like the having of liquid in a club is very sex party vibes. Yeah. Like you wouldn't expect that really anywhere else, would you?
Shirley's expectation was zero. Absolutely no idea what to expect.
Yeah.
Do you know what, Sarah? You should have watched a documentary on Channel 4 before you went.
the only Channel 4 documentary like that that I've watched is the one on dogging, and it's just always stayed with me, you know. That's, it's like such a famous
me.
One.
It's stayed with me too. It's the masks. It's the masks.
Fucking terrifying. But yeah, no, I had no expectation. So yeah, I guess like turning up and there's like a fucking 40-foot jacuzzi wow. in the middle of the room, I'm like, yeah, I guess this makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Yeah. But then, do you know what? I will say about the one that I went to, it was in a very nice building. It was in like a Mayfair, like townhousey mansion kind of vibe. And it did feel very opulent and very fancy. And it was pretty much everything that I'd expected. Apart from the fact that you had to pay for drinks, I found that really upsetting after you'd already bought a ticket.
That is annoying.
Yeah, weird.
It's so funny. Yeah.
Yeah. But I feel like we're talking about quite specific parties here. Like, since that party, I've been to lots of other parties that are more kind of like kink focused. And those are completely different to what we're talking about here as well. Yeah. So
tell us more.
The first time that I went to a kink party, I went to a Club Verboten, which is a members club in London, which is kind of based off the Berlin style of sex party, where you have techno and dark room and there's like equipment that you can get spanked on and all that kind of stuff, and that's a very different vibe.
Can you take me?
Yes. Yeah, but you have to become a member first though, but yeah.
Okay. I'm signing up today.
Sign up and we'll go. There's a few events this year.
DJ naked.
You might have to get that approved first, but but yeah.
Anyway, continue. Okay, so what's the vibe when you get there? Like,
so those ones are very different because the dress code, oh, that's another thing, I guess. The dress code for each party is going to be very different. So the ones that we went to are obviously very kind of like high class and wear something elegant and sexy. But a party that's more focused around kink and fetish is latex, leather, chains, straps, all of these kind of things. So it's a very, very different kind of kettle of fish when it comes to your outfit. And it's a lot harder to get to the venue subtly wearing all that kind of stuff underneath your coat.
Yeah.
It makes a lot of noise.
Wow.
And the parties are always funny because there's always like a queue of people waiting to get in as well. And you see as you're walking up to it, like everyone's eyes like shifting to each other, like, yeah, you're here for the kink party. I'm here for the kink party. We're gonna see each other naked in a minute. And it's just very much like an energy and a vibe. And then you get in and it's just like quite full on straight away. Like, the music's loud, it's hot, it's sweaty, there's noises and smells and sounds, and it's just like a big assault on your senses in a kind of different way than I think it is entering those other kind of more kind of couple and female focused parties.
They're more like a sort of ease into it, and then it's kind of like a gradual escalation. I think the weird thing for Shirley was that everything escalated so organically. Mm-hmm. So although it was probably in the type of party that you're talking about, Poppy, it was still like, let's say, 45 minute lead time from entering to like anything significant going down. It was still very much like it felt just so safe is one word I'd use, and too normal.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I've never, you know, Shirley's never been to anything where you walk in the door and then all of a sudden it's, we're going now. Like, you came here for a reason. Let's go.
But why?
Like, is that not like intimidating?
No, what I would say is all the different parties that I've been to, wherever the vibe is, they all just feel so welcoming and like everyone is there for the shared purpose.
Yeah.
So, you know, like walking into a normal club, which isn't a sex club, often feels even more intimidating than this. Or like chatting to strangers in a club that isn't a sex club can feel kind of dangerous. Yes. But when you're in the context of a sex club, everyone is there for this shared purpose and everyone is very respectful. Mm-hmm. You understand that someone's in front of you potentially with hardly any clothes on, so you're even more respectful to that person because of it. And I've never seen so much consent as I have in sex parties.
I also think that, like, you know, we're over here going in like feeling sick with nerves, right? So is everybody else. There's like a few veterans that, like, you know, are there because they've been to like a million sex parties, great, but pretty much everyone else is like, I mean, even if it's your second, third, fourth, whatever, and, you know, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, Poppy, but like, it still feels pretty scary, right? So everyone's in the same boat.
Yeah, it's so true. Everyone has the same kind of insecurities and feelings of like, will I fit in? Is it going to be okay? Like, what will I have to do? And the answer is, yes, it will be okay. And you don't have to do anything. You just do what feels right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
A question that we got was, do you have to do stuff? Like, do you go in there and you kind of have to get involved and stuff?
No, you don't.
You kind of,
I really don't. I think you get quite a lot of people that just go to observe, and particularly people in relationships as well who are testing it out for the first time. You'll see a lot of like couples just kind of standing on the sidelines and just watching. And you get a lot of people who go with friends. Maybe one friend wants to do something, the other doesn't. And there's absolutely no pressure. Like, it's very rare that 100% of the people within a scene or within a room will all be involved. Like, lots of people will just be off to the side just chatting or watching.
Poppy, I've got to ask. So at the moment, so you're still in this same relationship, and right now you identify your relationship as polyamorous. Is that still correct?
Yeah.
But at this time, when you went to this first party, you weren't. That's what you said earlier.
Yeah.
So how did this work? Did you go and only stay with each other, or did you enjoy everything the party had to offer, so to speak?
The plan when we went in was to just take it as it comes, and we just agreed, rather than having like hard and fast rules, we would just check in with each other continuously, and it would be like, you know, a shared look, a nod, a like, yes, this is okay, a reassuring glance. But also we'd kind of said, he had said that he was really turned on by the idea of me being with someone else. And I was also really turned on by the idea of me being with someone else. So that worked really well. So we kind of went into it with the understanding that it would definitely be okay for me to do things, and we'd take it as it kind of came with him. And I wasn't really sure how I felt about it yet. I thought I'd probably be fine, but I'd need to see in the context. And then when it came down to it, like, I remember a woman tried to like lent in to kiss him, and he did check with me first, and he looked, and I was like, yeah, you go for it, honey. And like, just kind of watched. And there were definitely mixed feelings. Like, there was a feeling of like, oh great, he's snogging someone first, does that mean, is he more attractive than I am? Like, damn, has he won? But then like within 10 minutes I was snogging someone, so it was fine. And yeah, we sampled the delights of the party. We did.
That's, I'm sorry, but like the communication that was facilitated by that environment, like, I honestly think it's unparalleled compared to like your typical bedroom environment. You know, like you talked about, like, you didn't necessarily know how you would feel if you saw him. Like, you were both agreed that if you got with someone, that'd be one thing, but him getting with someone would be, you know, you didn't really know how you feel. And I think there's a lot to be said for like, do you know how you'll feel until you try it? And actually, like, is going to one of these parties a really safe way to experiment with those kinds of feelings? Because let's be honest, it's incredibly transactional. I doubt you even had a conversation with those people before things happened.
Nope.
And like, do you think there's something about these places being really sort of safe spaces to experiment with a partner?
I think that totally depends on where you're at in your relationship and how solid you feel and how trusting you feel. Like, I know that me and my partner both went into it like having complete trust in each other. So there wasn't this like idea of like, well, what if he does something and doesn't tell me? Because I said he could once he could, and then he did. And it was... You have to have that base level of trust. I think if you're unsure about whether you want to be with someone or whether you trust someone, to throw yourself into a situation like that is potentially putting yourself out there for a lot of harm. But if you feel that you are the kind of person that might be turned on by seeing your partner with someone and you're not quite sure, then I think doing it is the only way that you are actually going to find out. So why the hell not? And I think, Sarah, what you were saying about like the fact that there are no attachments, it's not, you are just seeing someone in the moment, finding them attractive, acting it out, and then probably never speaking again. So it does take away a lot of those thoughts about like, but is he gonna really like her? Are they gonna have an emotion? Because they're not even gonna exchange any words. It's more like, does he like her face and does she kiss well and have nice tits? Like, great, so does everyone else here, so party on.
Yeah, or even like, are they within arm's reach? Because that's enough in a lot of the situations. But like, I have to say, like, I commend both of you actually. And like, Poppy, especially having, you've gone through this, you've lived this, and this is like, you talk about it so naturally, but I think for so many people, that is such a level of, I don't know what the word is. I want to say security in your relationship or security in yourself, or I don't know what the word is, but like to have that confidence and that ability to go to a party with someone and to trust them and know that kind of like, yeah, sure, you might feel a bit weird about it in the moment, but you trust that they're going to communicate with you. You trust that however you feel is not, it's not to do with them. It's about your own mm-hmm. kind of like how we, it's more to do with how you process these sorts of situations. And like, I think you're both so far down the spectrum of like self-discovery and I don't know, self-confidence in a regard as well. I think it's amazing. And I personally don't know, I still don't really know how I would feel. And I think that's probably because I'm not in a really, I'm not in a loving relationship. I'm not in any fucking relationship. And I now have this new aspiration for when I do finally settle down with someone, that I want to have that level of comfort, you know, like I want to, I'm struggling to articulate this, but it's like, is comfort the right word?
Or yeah,
is
it I think self, so.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think one of the things that we found was doing that the next morning, you know, we were getting the tube home after going home with this couple, and all we felt,
oh nice,
yeah, spoiler alert, yeah. We got laid. We were like on the tube, like all bedraggled from the night before, and just felt really, really in love. It was like, wow, we did that thing. God. We did that thing together. Aww. Like having a new experience with someone is really bonding, even if it's something completely filthy. It's like really wholesome and bonding at the same time.
And also, like, who better to experience something new and scary with? Yeah.
And like, it could be filthy as anything, but it's almost like once you've experienced it, it's not filthy anymore. Like you've done it, and that's just, it just becomes normal, right?
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. And I think once you've done something yourself as well, you know, like we're speaking about being jealous in the moment or whatever. Once you've done something yourself, once you've snogged someone or you've had sex with someone, you can then see that that has not changed your feelings towards your partner. You know, mm-hmm. having sex with someone else hasn't altered mm-hmm. how you feel. So then that helps you feel secure in realizing, well, my partner's probably not going to change how they feel about me then, because I haven't changed. So why should they? And that's quite a nice affirming yeah. feeling to have.
I can totally see that. On the flip side, Tara, you obviously went with a good mate, bit of a legend, I think she is. Shirley, how did you find that experience? Because that's different, because I have to say, with a partner, sure, there's all these other complex feelings involved, but you do know each other intimately. Whereas with a pal, if you're going with your gal pal, like, oh yeah, like another normal night out, it's like, you're going to see some stuff you've probably not seen of each other before. So how was that experience for you, mate?
I just remember that we had one rule. And the rule was, we just don't get involved with each other. Like, we just, you know, we have a drink. And then she goes off with her male snakes and other female snakes, which was great. And then I just do my thing and that's it. And then we got there. We had a bottle of Prosecco that we split between two of us. And I didn't see her until about 3 a.m., which is when we left.
Really?
Like that, I think that you've hit the nail on the head with the golden rule of just being like, I don't know, that dynamic kind of works, because you're like, okay, see ya. I'm going to go over here. I know you're yeah. here. If I need to feel like safe and I need to check in with someone, it's nice and comforting to know there's someone else here. But also, we don't need to share that part of it together, because that's, you know, a little bit of a step too far.
But do you think yeah. it would always be a step too far, or do you think the more parties you went to, would that rule be gone?
Oh, Shirley is desensitized to it. This is the thing, right? So the first one she went to, she was like, this will shock me. This is like one of the reasons that she wanted to go, is because it's like, it would be shocking. And it was. And then from, you know, after an hour in, it's like, I've seen it. This isn't shocking mm-hmm. anymore. This is just, I don't know, I'm very desensitized to it. I'm here just purely for enjoyment now. You know, there's no shock factor. And because of that, I don't think it'd be strange now. I think I'd be very much like, yeah, my mate's over there doing that, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I'd particularly yeah. enjoy it. You know, it's just like, they're over there doing one thing and yeah, I'll do yeah. my thing. I don't know.
Shirley, I know you're fit and everything, but I don't want to shag you. So, like, I'm happy to go to the party with you, but I kind of still don't want to
hold
shag you or kind of be involved yeah. with anything. Yes, yeah, exactly. So, you know, but I do remember actually one of my favorite parts of the night was at like 3 a.m. we decided that we were done and we kind of met in the middle together and then we went home. And I remember just being literally over there in my flat on the balcony, like just having a debrief. And it was just great. Like, it was like debriefing on a club night.
Yes.
And just, it was just great. Like, I still remember it like it was yesterday. Like, us just having a little chit chat about what had happened, what we'd missed. Like, it's just great.
Oh, I love that.
Very bonding experience.
Yeah. It sounds like you guys had the same kind of experience that me and my boyfriend did, to be honest. Like, that kind of bonding moment afterwards. Like, just the shared feeling of having done something.
Yeah. I think it's probably very daunting to go alone. And we should definitely, like, you know, not that we all claim to be experts, but we should definitely, like, you know, give a bit of advice to people who might be considering it and just haven't made the leap into even Googling yet. Because, like, I think going on your own would be, obviously it's possible. And Shirley met lots of people who just turned up on their own, and some of them were regulars on their own as well. But there's something nice about knowing there's someone there. If everything becomes too overwhelming, you've got a safe, a sort of familiar face there in a safe space. I don't know. Yeah,
I think I personally couldn't imagine going alone, but I know that I know that lots of people do. But I think my strategy would be instead to try and find someone who, even if it's a new friend, to go with. So parties like Killing Kittens, for example, have an online community, like a kind of online dating website. So you can sign up and you can try and meet someone through there who'll be willing to, like, buddy up with you and go without kind of any assumptions of anything happening between the two of you. And then the other kind of the kink parties that I was talking about, they also have like big WhatsApp groups, or they have like Instagram where they might be happy to introduce you to people. There's websites like FetLife, which are for people who are into like fetishes and stuff like that, where you can meet people. So you don't have to go alone. There are lots of ways to facilitate meeting new people to go with, and I think it is really nice to have someone that you know you can just chat to.
I'm also thinking though, because like, if you did want to go alone, you can be whoever you want to be in that scenario, and you will never see these people
again.
That
is very
true. You can just go and do your thing, and if you live a life where you kind of have to be a certain way, or like, you know, you can just kind of be free and be yourself, and that I could see being quite a nice thing, because it's such a welcoming, I mean, when you go to the right party, it's such a welcoming, friendly atmosphere where everyone's there just, you know, being really vulnerable, really, because it is very sort of, you know, it's that sort of environment. And so I kind of get it. Like, you could almost have this other side to you where it's like, you know, I've got my 9 to 5, but I also go to these kink parties.
Yeah, totally. And I think you just have to be really, really open to speaking to people and being friendly.
Yeah.
And just be kind. 100%. Don't be pushy to anyone, you know, like, just because you're all there in the same place, people don't owe you anything. They don't have to speak to you. So if someone's not interested, you have to respect that and just politely move on. But I just think being really friendly and open and chatty is the best approach that you can have in one of these places. And this bit, I'm specifically speaking about the beginning, because once you're further into it, you're just naked. Everyone's just naked and it's a lot more fluid. But it's the beginning bit that's awkward if you're alone. Yep. And that's where you really have to practice your social skills and just go and introduce yourself to someone.
Yeah, you're so right though. Like, that, the people, another observation Shirley made is that the people really are, as you said earlier, Poppy, so welcoming, but also that shared purpose is extremely powerful, because there's no game playing. And even in like a normal bar, a normal club, A, you wouldn't be talking to strangers anyway, because no one does that anymore. Or if you do, you're very confident. I'm very jealous. But B, when you do speak to people, it's like, what do they want? What are they after? What's the agenda? Are they trying to get a drink? Am I trying? What's happening? Whereas that shared purpose, actually, even though it could on the surface almost be a bit like, a bit seedy, even like, oh, we're all here for the same thing, you know, cut the crap. It's not. It's like, we're all here for the same thing, so we can enjoy each other's company, knowing that, you know, the end is inevitable, and there's no need to like mask who you are. Like, we're here to have fun in the same way, and we know we've got something in common. And Shirley was surprised at how much she had in common with people there. You know, also, like, let's talk about the expectation. Shirley's expectation before this, as we said, was zero. But in terms of the other people there, definitely expected it to be creepy people. Sorry to generalize on that term, but expected it to be creepy people. And actually, it turned out to be just lots of other people, lots of other snakes, just like her. just like her.
Yeah.
Yeah, surprising, yeah, that, isn't it? Absolutely. Something that you wanted to do, other people like you wanted to do too, Shirley.
There was no point in being scared Shirley's and being like, oh, I'll be the only one.
Her snake mind is blown right now.
Did you find that you found people really attractive, or was it the atmosphere of being there that turned you on?
It was the atmosphere for me. Like, it wasn't necessarily the people. I was like, oh my God, I want to jump on you. It was more just like, I know why you're here. And actually, the people that I spoke to, like, they were just really lovely people, and it was almost like they're scoping out people, and it was just great. I was in a position where I was kind of up for anything, so I was like, great, like, take me.
Yeah, it's a tough one, isn't it? And also, yeah, like, it's kind of dark.
Yeah.
So it's kind of yeah, in a lot of those situations, it's kind of hard to know, really.
Mm-hmm. I really want to say this, that I had no expectations going in, but what was one of the most magical things for me was that I ended up, and I remember literally, because I was quite drunk, obviously, I remember being like, you know, it was 1 o'clock in the morning, and I just thought, I'm going to take a look around. And I looked around, and there were people of all different mm-hmm. shapes mm-hmm. and sizes and, you know, skin yes. colors and whatever, you know, and we were all in this room having a fucking good time, and it literally did not matter. There were people like wearing ropes. There were people in like, you know, suspenders and this and that, and just every single shape and size that you could possibly think of, and everyone was sexy as yes. fuck, and it was just like, honestly, the most wonderful environment where everyone was just really feeling themselves. And it was really that, I think, for me, was the sexiest thing about it. It was like, everyone is just there, just really just like out in the open. Yep. Having a good time.
I love that you've said that, because I feel like the question that I get asked most frequently is, but aren't you jealous of the other girls? Aren't you worried, like, whether you'll be hot enough? It's like, no, literally no, because every single person has a different body and it's beautiful in its own unique way. Mm-hmm. And I know we yeah. spend a lot of time on Instagram and we're just served the same image of like, this is what a perfect body looks like. But in reality, no one's body looks like that. Everyone looks totally different. And like, what you might think is a flaw in yourself, someone else is going to think it's sexy. And the mass effect of just having loads of naked bodies together, you're just looking at the overall effect of it, aren't you? You're just like, wow, yes. this is really hot. A mass of naked people. Great. Yeah. You're not looking at anyone's like wobbly bum or anything like that. Like, everyone just looks hot.
it's so empowering. It's the the confidence that comes from that yeah. is real. So the yeah. you know, the mass effect of everything going on is one thing, but that tangibly manifests itself in the people who are there being like, yeah, do you know what? There's so many people around. Like, the focus isn't all on me. I can show myself off. And then that turns into like confidence and empowerment. And by the end of it, no one gives a shit what they look mm-hmm. like. No one gives a shit. No. It's like all of that was out the way in the first 10 minutes. Okay. And now it's just a free for all. It's like, there's something incredibly liberating, I think, about that. It's like, you've mm-hmm. physically, you've seen all of me. So now that's out the way. Like, let's actually see what yeah. everything's about now. I don't know.
Yeah, definitely.
I have a question. I have a question for both of, well, for Shirley and Poppy. What has been your most memorable sex party moment?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Shirley says the most British thing she's ever seen in her life was the one she went to with you, Tara. She noticed a gaggle of people who weren't engaging in any activities. They were just standing around. And it was like quite a long line of people. So she went over to investigate what was happening. And it turned out it was a queue for the bondage swing, like a queue. Queuing up, ready to go. And, you know, people were just shagging in the queue. Like, just get a quickie in before they hopped on. Makes a lot of sense.
Amazing.
Yeah, I think that was like a really weird intersection of like logistical event planning from something from what you'd call the normal world. And then, you know, something from the world that apparently we're not allowed to indulge in daylight or whatever. It's like a strange intersection of the two worlds, but yeah.
That is so British.
It's great.
I've never been to a party like this, but I've heard that in lots of swingers clubs, there's like a finger food buffet. I've heard that on multiple occasions. Like, just, you know, some sandwiches cut into triangles and some crisps.
Amazing.
Have a little snack. That actually sounds fucking great.
That's great.
Little recharge. The midpoint.
The fact fact it's a buffet as well, there's just something really like, I don't know.
So British. So British. Yeah. I think my most memorable moment from the first party was, I think if you've researched sex parties, you might be aware of the concept of a big bed, which is essentially just like 2 to 4 double beds pushed together with a big waterproof sheet on top, which is a pretty much a staple of any sex party. And yeah, you know, a couple of bottles of Prosecco deep into the night, I just remember just being in the middle of the big bed, just with people every single side of me, and like making out with someone and having sex with someone, and then seeing Adam next to me and someone's going down on him, and just being like, this is definitely a sex party. We've achieved it.
Oh my God. You must have felt so That's alive amazing. At that moment, surely.
Yeah, so alive, so sweaty. So wet in just various places, and just hoping that it's mainly my bodily fluids. Oh my God. Oh my God. I've just remembered that I squirted as well on the big bed. And just being like, is that okay?
Oh my God,
is that allowed? Like, who's going to clear that up?
Epic. Did you have lots of people watching?
There were lots of people involved, to be honest. It was more just a kind of like, I don't particularly remember people watching, but there probably were, because there always is, isn't there? There's always people watching, but yeah, good times.
That's another important thing to say though, isn't it? Like, if you, so look, if there's people listening who are like, oh, actually, this actually sounds kind of interesting, right? In terms of advice for how to get started on this, I think you don't, like you said earlier, Tara, I think it was you, like you're not committing to doing anything by going. And like, if you're looking, so in terms of like rope your partner in to go with you is something I can't comment on because I've obviously not been able to do it. But in terms of Shirley going with a friend, like you can do it on the premise of like, look, let's just go and see. Let's go and see, let's go and observe. It's totally okay to turn up and like not commit to doing anything. And just watching, and that's still a spectacle in itself. Mm-hmm. That's still like an incredible like act of humans that you don't usually get exposed to in everyday life. Like, it's an amazing thing to see.
Putting it in perspective, right, it's like watching live porn.
Yeah.
Like, if that doesn't make you want to get involved, what is?
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost like you could go there and be like, yeah, I'm just going to watch, and then be like, well,
I'm
really fucking horny now. So
I always find now like the most difficult thing is actually finding a place to like do stuff, because I think most people want to get involved, so you're just looking like, is there a corner of a bed where I can just get fucked? Like, please let me in.
Move up. Excuse me, sir. Yeah. Excuse me.
Oh no, someone squirted on this bit. I can't sit here.
Oh my God. I think, like, final question from me that, like, I know gets asked a lot is, how the fuck do you stay safe in these situations? Because you've got a lot of stuff happening. You've got a lot of people exchanging a lot of stuff. Like, how does that side of it work? What's your experience with that, Poppy?
Well, I think, first of all, don't do what we all did and get drunk. If safety is paramount, and as it should be, like, don't lose your wits, because you might not then use protection. And using protection is the obvious answer. Like, just use a condom. Use a condom. Don't swap fluids with anyone that you don't want to be fluid bonded with, you know? Either stick to your partner who you're there with, who you've vetted and you know, or don't have unprotected sex. Like, that's it, really. It's just common sense.
Yeah.
Do you bring them, or do they provide the condoms?
I mean, both. There's usually bowls, isn't there? Bowls of condoms everywhere.
Yeah.
Bowls. Just bowls of them.
Everywhere. Yeah.
So I actually, weirdly enough, did like a lot of talking to people when I was there, just because I ended up in this like half hour conversation with some guy. And then we were like, should we go and like fuck people now? Anyway, regardless.
Together but or separately?
Separately. We just got into this deep chat about fucking nothing, which is literally the story of my life. But what I was going to say was, I remember just being with this couple and like talking to the guy, and I was like, so how does this work? Like, have you come yet? Like, are you what's like, you know, how are you doing this? Because it was, you know, for us, like, we could just keep going and it doesn't matter, right? But for the guys, I was like, so this is interesting. Like, tell me, like, what's your game plan here? And he was like, yeah, I'm saving it. I'm saving it. I'm just going to, like, leave. I'm just going to, whenever I get close, I'm just going to stop. And then I'm going to save it for later. I thought that was really great. Wow. I was like, bless you.
That is such a good lesson in edging, isn't it? Yeah. If anyone suffers with premature ejaculation, go to a sex party and just... because you can't waste your 50 quid ticket or whatever you've spent, especially if you're a man. It's more expensive, you know.
Exactly.
Oh god, it's so true. Like a one shot wonder, like first 30 minutes it's like, oh fuck.
It must be harder for men. That's funny because I'm about to make a comment about erections. It must be harder because you drink, don't you? And obviously drinking has an adverse reaction to erection sometimes. Yeah. So it must be a really fine balance for men to have the kind of liquid confidence but also be able to maintain an erection and then also to not ejaculate too soon and have it all be over. Like, it's such a fine balance. It is much easier if you have a vulva, isn't it?
And also there's probably an element of like maybe a bit of stage fright as well. Mm-hmm. Like these, even if you're somewhere where there's not people observing, they're just like involved, it's still like, you know, it's a very unusual situation to be in because we've mostly been taught and told that like intimacy happens one-on-one in a bedroom, you know, like that's the typical blueprint for it, isn't it? So breaking out of that is probably like, for all genders, is probably still quite daunting if you're not used to that sort of environment.
Yeah, I think one of the good things though is I don't think there is any pressure to orgasm really, because it is such a continuous mass of just different activities and things going on here and things going on there. Like, I certainly have never felt any pressure to like to come, and I think that's quite a freeing thing to not just be like someone's sole attention is on you and they're expecting something from you.
Yes. Yeah.
No one's faking there, are they?
No, you don't have to. And I think, I don't know about you, but I feel like you want to be loud anyway, because you're just like, oh, that's another thing we should probably speak about, just the sounds of a sex party.
It's such a
unique sound. Like the moans and the slapping and just the cacophony of humans. The squelching.
Yeah.
There's really nothing else like it.
It's so good. It's just so great. Yeah. Okay. So closing question. What advice do we all have for people wanting to go to sex parties? Poppy, go for it.
Just do it. Just do it. Just find one that resonates with you. Look at their website. Do you like their mantra? Do you like what they're saying? And if you do, then... you know, if you're scared, find out if they've got a social event or something like that, because lots of these nights they have socials where you can go first and mix and meet people and then go. And then just do it. What have you got to lose? You'll have a great time.
Love that. Love all of that. Spot on as well. Like, I think it's like such a, of course, like everything we want to talk about these days, it's such a taboo. But as we said at the start of this, they are everywhere if you want to go. They are everywhere. And it's not like, you'd be surprised, you know, there's so many people, probably so many people with common interests with yourself who go to these things and have the best time. And I think, you know, it may sound daunting, but when Shirley went to these things, the perspective she got on sexuality, sexual liberation and consent and many other important topics to do with, you know, just enjoying yourself physically, it was an incredible life-changing experience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you kind of have to look past some of your own misconceptions or preconceptions about what it might be like and allow yourself the luxury of going along and just see it, just experiencing it. Like, what an amazing act of humans all coming together. Shirley would say it's like something you have to do in your life.
Yeah, I think the advice I would give is that communication is everything. You know, whether you're going with someone or if you just, you know, you're having fun at one of these parties, like, communication is so important to make sure that everyone's happy and everyone knows what's going on at all times. But also just want to wrap by saying that, like, you know, I went in just to have, you know, a couple of more experiences under my belt that I've always wanted to do. I came out having a completely different view of the world.
Yes.
Like, I know it sounds really cliche and stupid, but I swear, like, I just, there's so much that I learned about society, about human beings, about myself, like, so much more than I expected. And it's really hard to explain to anyone that hasn't been. Yeah, I don't know. So that's what I've got.
I think that's so true. Like, the atmosphere is just, it's so unique, and you go in and you might be worried and you're and feeling this like anticipation of what might happen, and then as soon as you get in, I don't know about you two, but I just wanted to take all my clothes off straight away. Like, straight away I was like, I've got too much on, I need to be naked. And any worry that you had about people seeing you or people judging you just goes completely out the window straight away.
Yeah.
And what an amazing way to feel about yourself.
Yeah,
what an amazing way to feel about yourself and about others.
Totally.
So there you go.
That's, I think, all we've got time for, team. So thank you so much, Poppy, for being here with us being such an open book. It's been absolutely fantastic to do this with you. And for everyone listening, please give us a follow or subscribe, whatever platform you're on, and leave us a cheeky 5-star review and a comment to potentially be featured on Close Friend of the Week next week. And Sarah has something to say.
Please do not forget to give us a cheeky follow on Instagram. You can find Poppy at Self and More, or on her personal at Poppy Scarlet _. You can, of course, follow Tara at Move with Tara. You can follow me at sarahb.london. And please do follow Lucy, even though she's left the building this week, at Lucy Mountain. Thank you all so much for listening. It's been our pleasure, and see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.